market, advertise, and sponsor your business with Vietnam veteran Cliff Kelly and America's Heroes Group, where information and resources are intentionally disseminated via radio, print, and social media. Call our office for more details at 312-803-2618.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Hello, hello, hello. America's Heroes Group Roundtable with partner Chicago Regional Office Veteran Benefits Administration. Today is Saturday, October 10th, 2020, and October is Breast Cancer and National Domestic Violence Awareness Month. We are here with our panelists, John Pennington, the U.S. Army Veteran and Assistant Veterans Service Center Manager for Chicago Regional Office, Veterans Benefits Administration. And he has a long, long resume that comes here. He was appointed as the Assistant Veterans Service Center Manager in August of 2019 for the Chicago VA Regional Office. He joined the Veterans Benefits Administration at the Indianapolis Regional Office in February of 2010. And this man has so many master's degrees, I'm trying to count them, but he has a master's of science degree in criminal justice. He has one in Christian leadership and is currently completing one in the science degree of in athletic coaching. So he is a very, very busy man. And we also have with us David Motis, who is serving in the U.S. Army Veterans Combat Wounded in Afghanistan War and Chicago Regional Benefits Administration Claim Processor, who trained and renewed employees to accurately process military sexual trauma claims. He is a combat wounded veteran of the war in Afghanistan. David began working as a claims processor with the Veterans Benefits Administration in 2009. Currently, his role is to assist in the training of new employees and audit claims accuracy on VBA employees. David is one of seven mentors at the Chicago Regional Office who reviews and trains employees to accurately process military sexual trauma claims. It is an honor to have you. John, I'm going to have you lead off, and you can tell me a little bit about what you do and how important what you're doing is. I'm sure it is. I see veterans benefiting all the time. Hello, John.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing over the Veterans Benefits Administration. It sounds like you are doing a great deal.
I'm happy to be here, first off. But
great.
Yeah, so Chicago Regional Office is doing great things right now. As you know, due to this COVID, we've been teleworking pretty much 5 days a week. But I tell you, our employees haven't missed a beat. I mean, they're doing great things. I think we're ranked pretty high on production nationally, so we're doing a lot of great things for not only veterans for Chicago, but nationally. So, I mean, like I said, our employees haven't missed a beat with all this COVID thing. I mean, they're doing great things for the nation, so I just want to point that out, that our employees are just great, and they just love serving veterans.
Yeah, they're serving the people who served, huh? And really, I feel, you know, we have to really take a moment to think about all the things people are going, personal issues with their own families, and, you know, this COVID-19 being something that is, in some parts, unpredictable. And the people who are actually working within the VA system and the hospitals, our hats go off to you. Many of you were service members previously, and you are still serving our nation. So we are so happy that you're doing what you do to make sure our nation stands together. So, tell me a little bit more about what's going on as far as the, you know, the sexual trauma issue, because this is, October is Breast Cancer and National Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And I just had a person who did a wonderful job actually from the VA talking about this white ribbon campaign and making sure that we actually have a focus on this. So what is it that your area does with assisting people with this these particular issues?
Yeah, very good. So basically, if someone, a service member, like has some sort of sexual trauma within the military, so we have outreach coordinators that actually reach out to them and speak with them on how to file a claim. And then once that happens, I mean, we have claim processors that we have dedicated to working these what we call special mission cases, where we try to use compassion and gather all the information we can to formulate a decision on a claim, to make sure that we navigate that process with sensitivity and urgency, to make sure we take care of these vulnerable veterans, to make sure that they get everything they need from the VA.
Oh, fantastic. And, you know, tell me something about some of the stories that you've encountered, any success stories or things that you think people need to know about, you know, how this actually sort of unfolds for people.
Right. So a lot of times, you know, a service member, they don't understand what the VA does or what we can do. So when we have a lot of these outreach events, we will go out and talk to veterans, say, hey, here's what VA can do for you. I mean, we have medical treatment. We can help compensate you. Like some of the MSP, like it's very sensitive in nature, and we just need to make sure that we take care of these veterans. So, I mean, we have someone who will contact them via phone, either male or female, whatever they're more comfortable with on talking to us. And basically, we will help navigate the claim process. So I guess a success story is, like, we had a veteran back when I worked in Indianapolis that never heard of the VA or what it could do. They got out of service, and they thought they were on their own. But at that time, especially when I was in the military, there wasn't really a whole lot of outreaches. So not like what we have now, where we have VA reps go out and speak to service members who are separating from service. So we go more in detail what the VA can do. But go back to my story, at that point in time, this veteran didn't know anything about the VA. He just happened to stumble upon one of the outreach events that we had, like a ribbon event, and we were able to talk to him about his service, and we just had a long story on, like, what he encountered in service, some sort of sexual trauma, and we were able to lay out, like, hey, here's what we could do for you. We could help, like, gather evidence on your behalf. We could talk to you about what happened. We could link you up with medical professionals who will help you navigate, like, emotionally or physical harm that you may incur. And he got service connected for, and he was very grateful what we could do. And that's kind of what we want to be here. We want to reach out to people and say, hey, here's what the VA could do for you more, especially those older veterans who still don't know anything about the VA. We just want to make sure we continue to reach out to those folks.
Well, David, you know, I want to thank you for your service. You know, I did receive a little bit of injury myself over in Mosul, Iraq. But I really commend you for coming back and actually helping out on such a critical issue. And you're doing the claim processing, which actually is helping to save the lives of some of our veterans, because when they are in this whole issue surrounding military sexual trauma claims, it can be a life-threatening matter as well. And it can actually not only affect the quality of life, but even whether they're going to live or not. So tell us about what you do and why processing these claims is so important and how people actually do that.
Sure. So thank you for being here, and thank you for your service, too. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I do, and one of the things, my own personal experience with the VA is that the VA field has really taken care of me since I've come back from the service, as far as going through the voc rehabilitation program, mm-hmm. the GI Bill. Yeah. It started as a work study within the VBA. It was hired within the VHA and transferred over to the VBA. So I feel like the VBA and the VA itself is my family. And one of the great things that we do is not only by providing benefits on a monetary basis to service members for injuries that are incurred in the service, but also the health care eligibility that's allowed to them. So, you know, if they receive service connection for a disability, they can receive free health care for that condition without copay at the VA Medical Center. And depending upon what percentage they're assigned with us, They may have free health care for anything that they need, so not just the service-connected disabilities. I started within the VA about 10 years ago as a person who developed the claims, gathered all the evidence, and would request examinations for the individuals to go to medical examiner to try to get that opinion and find out if that condition that we're sending them to an exam for, if it's related to service or not, and then present that entire packet off to a rater who makes a determination on that case and would assign a percentage, you know, grant or deny benefits and assign that percentage. MST is extremely sensitive in that, you know, a lot of these individuals don't realize that just because they did not report their trauma in service to anybody by going to sick call or going to the hospital or to a clinic. Yeah. There's other means for us to try to put pieces together in that puzzle to show that something did happen in service. You know, if maybe they did go to sick call, but they got cold feet and then decided to say that they were there for something else. You know, maybe they're going for pregnancy tests. Or, you know, maybe they're afraid that because of the trauma that they incurred that they should be treated or checked for an STD. So if there's some unexplained things going on, you know, we can piece all that together to show that something actually happened. So I don't want any veteran out there to think that just because they didn't report it in service that they're not eligible for the benefits that we can provide to them, not only just the monetary benefits and compensation, but also the health care. Because one of the things that we want for all of our veterans is ensure that they're healthy and that everything's been taken care of, especially considering that the health of the veteran, you know, they're not alone in this. So everybody's got a family, whether it's brothers, sisters, siblings, a spouse or children. Their family isn't along in that experience with them. Yes. So we want to ensure that everybody's in a safe environment. We want to ensure that veterans can come to us for something. And that's one of the reasons why we do outreach. That's one of the reasons why we have coordinators that reach out to everybody and try to feel like this is a safe place for them to speak about their experiences. And we will help you along the way. If we need to go out to a local authority to try to find a report because it didn't happen on a military base, we can do that for them. You know, if they file the restricted trauma within the military, we can ask for a privacy release so that we can obtain that restricted report that is usually under tape and seal. Nobody else can get it. Mm-hmm. But we try to take those steps to help them through the process of their claim. We never want to deny anybody benefits. We always want to grant the benefits. As of now, my current role in the VA is to conduct quality on individuals who are developing the claims and gathering the evidence, so I audit cases. Along with that, I train. Right now we have 5 different MST coordinators that gather evidence, and I help the Chicago Regional Office train those individuals, and we ensure that you know that they've done quite a number of cases and that they have a 90% accuracy on those cases. So we do not want just anybody working those cases, and we don't want them to have, you know, putting together a package and delaying claims because we haven't to rework something. And we miss something, we're having to go out for something additional because that rater is not able to make a determination at that time. So it's a really great thing. A lot of our MST coordinators, they're wonderful people. They really enjoy working these types of claims and be able to provide that personal assistance to those veterans.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because you made me think about one thing is that, you know, people, you know, you have people of poor moral character and they, you know, they're just combative and that kind of thing. But, you know, sometimes mental illness, drugs and alcohol abuse and PTSD, TBI, and you have multiple deployments and family separation and reintegration. All these things are happening in a service member's life sometimes that can lead to more conflict arising. And, you know, and this goes beyond intimate partner violence, right? Because it can be someone that you're not even, you know, that you have no relationship with or someone who's imposing some type of sexual trauma on you that's not related to intimate partner violence. And so how do people, you know, many times people feel embarrassed or They feel like this is no big deal, or they're trying to protect someone's career, you know, or they're afraid of their own career, you know, the repercussions with them when they're going through this. So, you know, where do people can call for this? Is there like a national domestic violence hotline, or how do people get engaged with you?
So they can call us at the 1-800-827-1000. And there are VA representatives there. That's our national call center. And they should be able to assist anybody. There's another, if you just go to Google and Google VA MST, which is short for military sexual trauma, or even if you Google VA military sexual trauma, VA has an ad. It should pop up first thing right there for you to click on. And it gives an overview of VA-wide, whether you're looking at for healthcare services or if you're looking for us as far as benefits administration. There's a lot of information on there. There's contact information for the healthcare contacts and coordinators, you know, closest to you. Probably you can look up by your zip code and your state. Same thing with John might talk about this, but even as far as the benefits administration, you know, your station here is in Chicago. We have our own individuals, but I'm sure your audience goes across the border into Indiana. Indiana also has special processors just like we do that handle these cases. Specifically, whether they're the ones that are developing the claim and gathering the evidence or the ones that are rating the cases. But the ones that are developing the cases and gathering the evidence, they're the ones that would be reaching out to the veteran who filed the claim. But even if they wanted to know how to file a claim, there's an email address for those coordinators for them to reach out, you know, for that veteran to reach out to that coordinator.
Oh, great, because you're talking to the nation right now, actually international. We are in iHeartRadio as well, linked. So you're speaking to a very large audience.
Terrific.
We're getting calls from everywhere. But, you know, one thing, you know, before we move on to John about that issue, I was wondering, is there a statute of limitations or how does this work? Is someone able to bring this up? You know, because you were saying after separation from service that is something that people can also approach.
No, there's no statute of limitations for this.
Okay.
You know, and I do want to point out, it's not just veteran service members that can file these claims, but also individuals who are getting close to that time of being discharged. So we can even accept claims from people who are currently on active duty. So especially seeing as this is across the nation, international. You know, if there's any service member out there currently serving who's experienced something like this, and if they need help and they don't maybe feel comfortable speaking to somebody at the DOD, maybe they want to come to the VA and see what's, you know, available to them and how we can help them through the process of them being discharged. You know, not only just for military sexual trauma incidents, but anything else going on in their life, you know, that they may be afraid of with that transition.
Huh.
So
that's really great to know, because people just need that help out there. We know a lot of veterans are going through a lot of issues, you know, trying to readjust to, you know, to coming back into society. And this is a big burden they don't really have to carry if they reach out to you and address the issue. I'm really, you know, happy about that. But, John, maybe you can give us some more information about, you know, how this thing works and, how, you know, what's your perspective on it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like David mentioned, like, if you don't know who to contact, if you don't want to call the 1-800-827-1000 number, like you said, if you just Google VA MST coordinators, or if you go to VA.gov and search, like, MST coordinators, it will bring you up alphabetically by state who the coordinators are, so you can reach out to them directly via email, and they will get in contact with you pretty quickly. Like David said, these are some very stellar employees who want to work these cases. So we just don't tell people, hey, you're working these cases. These are actually employees who want to work these cases. So you have advocates for you, and will help you navigate through the whole claim process if you need them to.
Oh, fantastic. You know, so, you know, cause I know that in 1996 they had the Lutenberg Amendment to the Federal Gun Control Act of 1968, and it makes it a felony for anyone convicted of a domestic violence misdemeanor to possess a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then there was in Congress in 1994 passed the Violence Against Women Act. So how do these interplay with what the feds are doing? Because does that have any bearing on the military rights that people have? Do you, you know, David, is any you know, any, is there any relationship between that? Or do you think that that is, you know, I'm not sure of what the rights are, how different they are in the military versus, you know, people in general society.
I'm not sure we could speak much to that. I don't have knowledge much as far as how laws have been passed specifically to target, say, gun violence and how they would affect the DOD. I can tell you from my own experience as being a DOD, if you were charged with a Domestic Violence Act and were the Bill Brady, I think it's the Bill Brady Act, came into play where you couldn't be in possession of a firearm, that was typically grounds for being discharged from the military,
right?
Because you were you're handicapped in the sense of what your role is in the military.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I guess what I'm getting to as well is, you know, we have things in corporate America, right, where we have retaliation policies and those kinds of things in place. So if someone were to come forward, you know, so that they feel that they have some kind of protection, you know, if they were to come forward with a claim that some people are still active duty and they may feel that this will, hamper their careers or those kinds of things. Are there any protections in place, or how do they deal with that?
There are, if somebody is currently serving and they're in the military and they have experienced some sort of form of sexual harassment or even a sexual assault, they can. Each base should have a sexual assault coordinator for them to go and speak to, okay. And they can file either. It's of course there's a publication form for it, but it's a DD 2910, and then there's a 2911. But they have an option to file either, as I mentioned earlier, a restricted report, where they can go and seek services and have it recorded that something happened to them. But if they were in fear of their command targeting them for some reason, because oftentimes in the military it's the command, somebody in the command or somebody in, you know, higher in that chain of command of that individual that might be the perpetrator of the incident. So they can file a restricted report and they have it documented in their file. But no investigation will be started.
Okay.
And then
okay.
There's an unrestricted report. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember how many years ago that began, but I want to say that was within the past 10 years of when I started with the VA, that there was a lot of congressionals occurring specific to sexual trauma because the rate was quite high at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of media attention to that. And a lot of the VFWs and American Legions and congressmen wanting action taken, and they wanted changes just as of like what's been happening within the past year. Currently, there's the Vanessa Gillian Act that's pending at the within Congress. There's no action taken on it right now. It's still pending with the Armed Forces Committee.
Mm-hmm.
But that, unfortunately, doesn't appear that it has any bearing on any rules or regulations within the VA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you touched on something that's really interesting, and it's important to note that, military sexual trauma, these occurrences are not a normal byproduct of military life. They should not be. And they are actually a crime in when someone is violated in this way. And so how can people actually get involved with, talking about this? Are there therapists who are, available for them to talk to in the VA system? And how do you channel people into those tracks?
So that's what John was talking about. Definitely, for anybody that has any questions about that, they go on to va.gov.
Okay.
There's coordinators for at the Veterans Health Administration. There's social workers. There's psychiatrists. There's the mental health clinics there. There are going to be individuals identified and trained specifically within this area for them to speak to and see where what guidance they can have, even with the within the Health Administration. Mm-hmm. With us specifically, with the Veterans Benefits Administration, again, go to that, to do a Google for VA MST coordinator, and you can find those names there, as far as based on your state, who it is that your point of contact is within our organization.
Yeah, because it's kind of interesting. We know that it's a little bit more heightened, you know, in the military arena, you know, with the sexual trauma. But, you know, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, says that 1 in 4 women and 1 in 7 men will experience physical violence by their intimate partner at some time during their lifetime. So I'm wondering things that are happening that are going on within you know, this whole system. So we actually have to bring you back and another talk about this, because this is such an important topic, and I'm really proud of both of you. Thank you for your service. We're running short on time, and I wish I could talk to you for the next couple of hours, but unfortunately we don't have much time. What I'm going to do is just blurt out that thing again. It's VAMST. Right, just Google that, and they can go there find help and find the care coordinators they need, the MST coordinator. So thank you very much for your time, and we will have you back at some point shortly. But I am actually going on to a commercial break, and we are going to move on to the next segment of our show. Stay with us. America's Heroes Group stands with you and beside you. And thank you, gentlemen, for giving us all of your wisdom on this subject.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Okay, John Pennington. Thanks, and sir. David Motis. Thank you.